It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's getting closer. The big day looms. And each day brings more mayhem and mistletoe and madness. And hello, hello, hello. And I am Paul John Houseleben of God Bless the Keg Publishing, LLC. And welcome to the PGH Writing Command Center for another Christmas podcast episode here from God Bless the Keg Publishing, LLC. Oh, yeah. Oh, I gotta put my kazoo away. This finely tuned instrument, I get a little carried away there, but we are thrilled you're here to join us. If this is your first time tuning in, I feel sorry for you. If you're a long time listener or a subscriber, I even feel worse for you guys. But I am Paul John Houseleben of God Bless the Keg Publishing, LLC, and I am the flagship author, chief photographer, music reviewer, music critic, do-everything kind of chief cook bottle-washing guy here at God Bless the Keg Publishing, LLC, with a little help from my friends. And we have some of the friends here today. Some have gotten in the Christmas cheer. It looks like one guy's a little loopy. He's laying on a floor with a piece of tinsel on his face. But, you know, we're going to get over all this stuff. And we're just excited about the whole Christmas thing here. We got the official PGH Writing Command Center Christmas tree aglow here. We've got even my old goalie mask, which hangs on the wall here forever. It's decorated with a little Christmas ornament. We got the mistletoe up to get a ward away evil spirits, which is the real purpose of mistletoe, but you can look it up. We got Santa Claus guys. We got pine cones and holly berries. Ooh! That's a song, pine cone. I think the Osmond brothers recorded it. I don't want to hear it. We have a little Christmas village here. And we got the kazoo and terrible music by Paulie. We have everything going here. And this podcast episode, we got to get our little Orphan Annie decoder pins out because it is the Christmas season and the Christmas story. And we have a quick word from our sponsor here. So get those little Orphan Annie decoder pins out while Paulie rattles pages in the background for dramatic effect. And here we go. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Corporate Facilities Group Incorporated, the leader in technical consulting, facilities maintenance, facilities management and operations, as well as property maintenance and management services throughout America. And now, CFG is proud to announce a new department, a new initiative. I got to talk to Lydia about this. It's not new anymore. It's like 6 months now. Anyway, CFG Incorporated is proud to announce a new department, a new initiative, headed up by the amazing Mr. Steve McMillan. Let's give it up for old Steve Aruski. We love Steve. And he brings as many years of experience as he manages pre-construction services and estimating for residential development, residential renovations, and light commercial projects for CFG Incorporated. So, before you spend big bucks on a project, let old Steve Aruski check out the contractor's scope and price to make sure your hard-earned dough is going in exactly the right place. Don't get schnookered, especially during Christmas when there's Grinches out there. You know, look out for the Grinch. Check them out on the web at www.corporatefacilitiesgroup1.com. That's www.corporatefacilitiesgroup1.com. And on the podcast episode, there's a little tiny link woozy, and it says CFG Incorporated. You can click on that little link woozy, and it'll take you to the CFG website. So we would like to thank Lydia, Steve, Liliana, Summer the Doggy, and Smokey the Kitty Cat at CFG Incorporated for proudly sponsoring the podcast. Thank you so much. We truly appreciate it. And we have all kinds of crazy, crazy schedules going on here. My goodness gracious, this time of year. But I would like to make an announcement. If you have your charity, special events, not-for-profit, I know this time of year there's just so much going on. But send the details ahead to Paulie. And if I can, I'll squeeze it in on the podcast. I apologize. I got three or four just came in yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to dissect anything yet. But send it to GodBlessTheKegPublishing@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to read it on the podcast airwaves here. But we have one. We have the Christmas Gifts of Joy, benefiting the Children's Home of Virginia Baptist. And it is a special event on the 20th of December, starting at 2 p.m. And it is at the CHVB Ritchie Building. That's Charlie Hotel Victor Bravo Ritchie Building, 6900 Hickory Road in South Chesterfield, Virginia. And it looks like a great event, holiday cheer with the children. Gifts of joy, fun-filled family event with a Christmas village experience, and they got games, gifts, music, food, and fun. Oh, man, this looks great. So it's 4 hours. You can benefit a great cause there, the Children's Home of Virginia Baptist. The 20th of December, the Ritchie Building, 6900 Hickory Road, South Chesterfield, Virginia. Oh, great job. Yay! Yeah, and like I said, if you have any more of those, then send it ahead. So here we are, and we're counting down to the big day. And this is another of the Rated series, Paulie's Rated series. And last podcast, we got into the Christmas music. And the podcast before that, we got into the Christmas music. So this podcast, we're also going to get into the Christmas music with the Rated series. And this one, Last podcast, I did the five most annoying Christmas songs. And believe me, there's a lot of them. But there are also a lot of beautiful, beautiful, glorious selections of Christmas music. And I didn't want to be a total grumpy old man, so I decided to dig around in the Paulie files and in the backs of my file cabinets and in my old notes, and then get into my music library and put aside the grumpy tendencies and say, wow, we need to do a Rated series on the five best unknown songs of Christmas that are just fantastic songs that the media ignores, gives them no airplay, nothing on the radio, nothing on the streamings, nothing. And these are hidden gems of fantastic Christmas music that just never gets a spin. And, you know, I think in the Magic Radio podcast, I talked about my frustrations with modern radio stations, be it over the internet or broadcast stations, and how the big giant corporations have stepped in there, and free play of music is a bygone era. And now it's the same old songs and the same old rotations. Even on the big internet streams, you know, you like Christmas time, I like to put some on in the background when I'm working here at the Writing Command Center. It's the same thing over and over. If you listen for about 6 to 8 hours, the rotations come up and it's about the same thing over and over. And that's a tragedy, because if you're a music guy like me, and the great musical magician encyclopedia, my buddy Jeff, you know, we read the liner notes. We get down in the trenches of music, and we know who the studio musicians were, and the engineers, and the producers, and who did the cover art, and dig down. Because music is just a fantastic thing. And it's more than a hobby. It's a culture. It's a way of life. It's a heartbeat of our lives. It's glorious. All kinds of music. And it's just a shame that nowadays, as everything has changed and corporations have taken over these radio stations and streaming, it's just the same old thing over and over. And that, I long for the free play, the old days. days, you know? And I wrote a story. I think I mentioned this before. And I want to say it's in Flashes, Sparks, and Shorts, Flash number one. And it was a short story, and it has the call letters of an old fictitious old time radio station in there. And I think the name of the story is Snow on the Capacity Hat. And a capacity hat, without getting into technical things, is used on long wave, medium wave radio stations to adjust the resonance of the antenna and what's called SWR and all this stuff. But when they're bad weather can change those settings, and snow on a capacity hat is something that you got to have to tweak your dials to get a good signal. And this fictitious station is a low power AM radio station. Of course, it's based in New Jersey somewhere. And the story talks about an old-time DJ who was kicked to the curb years ago, and he just longs to get back on the air. And he had this famous Christmas broadcast he used to do every year, which was super popular. And now he's old, and he drinks too much, and he gets himself cleaned up, and he finally decides to record. And he still has this golden voice. He's got the golden radio voice, which is a fantastic thing. And he sends out a bunch of cassette tapes to radio stations all throughout America and metro area where he lives in Jersey and New York, Connecticut. And, of course, everybody ignores him. And he finally hits home with this struggling AM radio station that's low power, about to go off the air, been on the air for years and years, family run. And the call letters are like the family's, the owner's initials or something. And he finally hits pay dirt, and he comes back on the air for a short gig, and he does free play, and he does his famous Christmas broadcast and his Christmas Day and Christmas Eve broadcast. And of course it's a huge hit. And I don't understand why what worked years ago, I guess because it equals money. You got to pay somebody to be a DJ rather than just record things and just have AI or whatever. But things that were so popular and worked years ago, I have to think that some of them would work nowadays, too. I don't know why they're put on the shelf, you know, like manual transmissions. I'm really digressing, but manual transmissions worked for years and years and years. I always had a manual transmission until recently. And now it's like trying to find a Super Bowl championship for the New York Jets. It's like impossible. Except in sports cars and sporty things. I don't know why. But at any rate, hey, I digress. But a lot of these songs, in my opinion, should be in Christmas rotation lists. So let's get to it. And once more, I had a hard time narrowing it down. But I think I did a pretty good job. And I've been super, super busy. And it's been really hard to get things in. And I had to dig around in the coin box to pony up a little more dough for a little more hosting time. So I have enough minutes here, and I don't want to blab them away too much. So let me rattle my list here in the background. So if you tuned into other Pauly podcasts on the Rated series, you know that I always go 5 to 1. So 5 is going to be a really great song that the airwaves ignore and the media ignores and never, very seldom gets any airplay. And number one is going to be a phantasmagorical, unbelievable, great song that should be on the rotation list, much more than Mariah Carey and Wonderful Christmas Time. Every 14 minutes they pop up. So here we go. And we always have some honorable mentions. My on mentions this time have two. And the first on mention comes from a fellow named Chris DeBerg. And I know he's from the UK, but I want to say he's Scottish. But at any rate, could be wrong. The name of the song is A Spaceman Came Traveling. And it's basically talking about Jesus on Christmas and making it in like a spaceman frame. And it's a fantastic song. It's really, really deep. It's really, really well done, well written, great melody, and been recorded, I do believe, Chris, his version is the best. But it's been recorded by a number of different artists. I just saw the Celtic Women did it. And they jazzed it up a little bit. And they're all real pretty girls. So it's a great video to watch. And they did a really good job on the tune. So Check that one out. It does make the unmentioned list. Chris DeBerg, a spaceman came traveling. And then the other unmentioned comes from Tracy Thorne. And Tracy Thorne, you might know, depending on your musical taste, from the group Everything But the Girl. And she has a fantastic voice. She's a UK gal, English gal. And she has a album, and this is the title cut from the album. It's called Tinsel and Lights. And the album is the same name. And the entire album is really, really good. She covers a lot of like Hard Candy Christmas, and she does, goodness gracious, Sister Winter, Sufjan Stevens. And she does one of the songs that I'm going to mention here, so I'm not going to give that one away yet, but check it out. Tinsel and Lights is the title cut, so that makes my on mention, but the entire album is absolutely worth giving a spin. They're canticle songs. They're really, really nicely done, nicely produced. She's got a great voice. Love that album. I give it a spin at least two or three times during a Christmas season, and Tinsel and Lights makes the on mention. At number five, we have the amazing guitarist, Ritchie Blackmore. Ritchie from Deep Purple, of course, Smoke on Water, and Ritchie and Rainbow. And Ritchie makes an appearance here with his new reincarnated life as a Renaissance music man with his group Blackmore's Night. And Ritchie, in his older age, good for him, married a beautiful young woman, Candace Knight, who I believe was from Long Island, New York, and she was a DJ on a station, and she met Ritchie at some kind of event, and you know, they hit it off and eventually ended up getting married. And they both realized they had a love for Renaissance music, and they formed this band called Blackmore's Night, and they play they have a couple of amazing albums. Shadow of the Moon is really good. Secret Voyage is another good one. They have a great song, Fires at Midnight, or Fires by Midnight, something like that, where Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull makes an appearance and plays some flute on it. It's Ritchie pretty much just sticks to the acoustic, but he's writing great songs for this band. Candace has a lovely voice. She plays some tin whistles and Irish whistles and things like that. Great band. And once in a while, Ritchie picks up the old Stratocaster and he goes a little crazy. There's a song called The Circle, and by Blackmore's Night, and it's fabulous. And Ritchie can still play. I understand he's not doing so well, and I send out best wishes to Ritchie for a recovery there. I think he's probably in his 80s, but God bless you, Ritchie. Thanks for the music, and great guitarist. Anyway, the name of the song is Christmas Eve by Blackmore's Night. Christmas Eve by Blackmore's Night comes in at number five. And this comes from an album they recorded called Winter Carols. And it has a number of really, really great cuts, great arrangements. Ritchie out there, Candace singing. And I believe Candace Knight is Jewish. And she does some Hanukkah songs and some seasonal songs. And really, really well done album. And one of the cuts, Christmas Eve, is fantastic. It's got a beautiful melody. I believe Ritchie wrote it with Candace. And it's got some videos that are a little hokey. Like these animated things, they're a little sappy. But if you can dig down and find a video on the big video machine of Blackmore's Night doing Christmas Eve, it's an acoustic version, stripped down, and hand claps, two backup singers, Candace singing lead, and Ritchie on acoustic guitar, just showing you why he's one of the great guitar players of all time. And just cruising through this beautiful, beautiful melody and beautiful song in a very, very nice little setting with some candles and such. It's a beautiful video, beautiful song. I actually have heard this on the radio one time, one official time. I was back home in Connecticut for Christmas, And a local radio station out of Hartford, it came on Christmas Eve around 6 o'clock, and I perked up and I said, "Wow, somebody really dug deep in the library." So number five, check it out. It is Christmas Eve, Blackmore's Night with Ritchie Blackmore and his wife Candace Knight. Number four, I have already put a little plug in for my man Ian Anderson and my soft spot for the flute, and I don't play the flute. I do play the harmonica. I play the my finely tuned instrument, kazoo, if you could call that playing. And I have noodled around on Irish, the tin whistle. So, but I do love that flute. I love flutes and recorders. And Ian Anderson makes an appearance here, number four on the rated the songs everybody ignores for Christmas is "First Snow on Brooklyn" by Jethro Tull. From the Jethro Tull Christmas album, which I highly recommend. And I think I've mentioned that before, maybe on another podcast, but it's a great record. They've done a little repackaging on it for a new release. Fantastic cover art on both the original Jethro Tull Christmas album, as well as the repackaged one, which comes with additional Christmas cuts and a beautiful liner and beautiful liner notes and a little booklet. Beautiful, beautiful Christmas recording by Jethro Tull. And like I said, maybe I might have mentioned this on the five best Jethro Tull. I think it gone on mentioned. I don't think the boys were all in the studio at the same time and they just, recorded and then dubbed and mastered everything together. It's quite obvious on First Snow on Brooklyn. This just basically could be an Ian Anderson solo song, but it's Jethro Tull from the Jethro Tull Christmas album. Beautiful melody, great flute playing, beautiful song, First Snow on Brooklyn by Jethro Tull from the Jethro Tull Christmas album. That's number four. So, number three, we have an unusual cut here. And this one I really studied and had to dig down. It is Bright Bright the Holly Berries. And this comes from a chap named Alfred Burt. And he was a jazz musician primarily who had a dad who was a pastor of a church. And they made it, I think it was in Michigan. And I do most of this from my, I have the songs listed here on the list, but I don't have any notes. I do it from my head. So if I make mistakes, I apologize because it's mostly from a stream of consciousness. So Alfred wrote songs for the church every Christmas. He would write another Christmas song. And they used it like as Christmas cards, Christmas greeting cards. And it just stayed within the congregation. And he did it for like 12, 15 years or something. So I think there's between 12 and 15 Alfred Burt Christmas songs. And Bright Bright the Holly Berries, which is also known as, oh boy, it's got another title. This Is Christmas. This Is Christmas, I believe, is the actual name of the song. And then Bright Bright the Holly Berries. So Alfred would do this. And then after his dad passed away and he didn't have such a relationship with the church, somebody had taken all of these great songs and said, "Wow, this fellow wrote some beautiful music." And they became more popular. And I believe there is an album of just Alfred Burt Christmas songs. One of the more well-known ones is Carolin' Carolin', which I believe Nat King Cole recorded, and his daughter, Natalie Cole, also recorded. And "Some Children See Him" is another Alfred song that was quite popular. But my favorite is Bright Bright the Holly Berries. And if you can find the recording by a group, an a cappella group called Singers Unlimited, who were a jazz a cappella group, and they recorded a classic Christmas album simply called Christmas by the Singers Unlimited. I believe the band leader, the choral group leader, was a fellow named Gene Perling. And I don't know if he sang on there too, or he was just the leader, but they do a version of Bright Bright the Holly Berries, and it is absolutely fantastic. That whole album, if you can get by with, no music, just vocal a cappella, It's quite remarkable, the vocal range and the blending and the intricacies of how this choral group did this music. And I think it's readily available, but Bright Bright the Holly Berries, This Is Christmas, as a lot of Christmas music is, it's a very short song. And I often just, I don't know why that is, but I always feel that some Christmas music needs another verse, another stanza, something. But this is a very short song. I believe it was also recorded by Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians on a famous Christmas choral group type record too. That one has some music in the background. But if you can find the Singers Unlimited, very short song, beautiful melody, just as a music person, I just have a deep appreciation of how beautiful and intricate and how they blended all these voices together. And I love the song. It's got a real beautiful old Christmas feel to it. So Bright, Bright the Holly Berries, despite its very short length, I'm still putting it at number three. Number two on the rated list comes from, and you know, I haven't talked much about one of my favorite bands, yes, a progressive rock band, yes. And I always say I'm an old prog rocker, and that's very true. And yes, of course, arguably, maybe the greatest prog rock group of all time in their various incarnations over the years. But the one of the original members, the late, great Chris Squire, in my opinion, I'm not going to give away the greatest bass players, but certainly you can't talk bass players without talking about the great, late great Chris Squire. So Chris Squire recorded a Christmas record called, and this is hard for a new guy from New Jersey to say, Chris Squire's Swiss Choir. And there is no Swiss Choir. It's just a play on words. But that's a great Christmas album by Chris Squire. And Chris's background also is in choirs and arrangements. And he was church affiliated as a very young boy and then up through the church until his teenage years. And he learned a lot about musical arrangements, just like we were talking about the Alfred song with Singers Unlimited and arranging. And it's very, very apparent on Chris's Christmas record how skilled he was and how much he learned as a young man about arranging music. And he wrote a song with his buddy from Yes, the great drummer Alan White, and it's called Run with the Fox. And I have never heard that on radio. I've heard Bright Bright the Holly Berries, but not that version by Singers Unlimited. I mentioned I've heard Christmas Eve. I've never heard Run with the Fox. It's a fantastic song. What a beautiful song. Chris sings lead on it, and Chris does have a very good singing voice. Really, really does. And they got a great rhythm going there with Alan and Chris on bass, and it's just a fantastic song. The whole Christmas album, the Swiss Choir, I highly recommend. There are some traditional type church hymns on there, and they're done in a very, very nice arrangements, different arrangements. One or two might be a little plodding, but overall, that's a great record if you can find it. Might be another difficult one to find. And I've gotten a few emails here as of late, especially when I did the Golden Age of Christmas music, of folks trying to find some of these records that I mentioned. And I mean, this podcast is the songs nobody plays, so you can imagine they might be a little obscure. But dig around, I think you'll find it maybe on the used sites or whatever, but at very least, maybe get a, you know, an MP3 download on it, but highly recommend. So here we go. Number one. Let's get the finely tuned instrument. Here we go. Number one comes from Canada, and it's a fellow named Ron Sexsmith, and he wrote a song called Maybe This Christmas. And this might be my favorite Christmas song. It's absolutely fantastic. It's very mellow, great melody, very poignant lyrics. And Ron, I believe he's in Ontario province. Once more, I do this from my memory. I think he's from St. Catharines in Ontario, Canada, and quite a successful singer-songwriter. Formed a little band, and Ron wrote this song, and it is only available, to my knowledge, on a compilation record of more like modern artists, and they recorded one of these little side project type recordings for Christmas, and I believe it's called Maybe This Christmas. And there's a number of other artists on there, and Ron has written a masterpiece here. I've seen this recorded and covered by many, many artists, particularly in Europe, Sweden. I've seen a lot of folks cover Ron's Maybe This Christmas and done a great job. But in my opinion, Ron Sexsmith's original version here on acoustic guitar is great. Now, once more, I'm going to mention, I feel that it's a very short song. I wish Ron had written one more verse for it. But hey, you know, sometimes the less you say, the better. And yeah, I think he delivers a great, great song. Obviously, I rated it number one. And he probably figured, okay, you know, one more verse would destroy whatever vision he had or whatever vibe he wanted. There is a short interlude where he kind of finger rolls on the acoustic guitar with the main melody and rolls around a bit. And it's just a lovely song. If you can find Ron's original version in the video, I think it's filmed in black and white. He's a real cool cat. He's got real cool hair, which of course makes me really jealous. He's got a great voice. Great song. Great song. Rated number one. Now, I'll go back and recap like I ordinarily do. But I also want to mention, because I struggled trying to get these Christmas songs that do not receive any airplay and deserve just incredible recognition for classics that they are. And I eliminated some other songs that were fantastic and I originally had them. So I'm going to kind of have like a subcategory here on this rated, and I think I'll come back in the winter time, maybe in January or February, and I'll mention winter songs. So there are a number of winter songs that I cut off of the list because they're not specific to Christmas. But I have heard these on the radio much more and on the streaming sites than these other songs that I mentioned that don't receive any airplay. So one of them is White Winter Hymnal by Fleet Foxes. And that's not technically a Christmas song, but I hear it played quite often on Christmas rotations as of late. And it's got fantastic harmonies. Fleet Foxes are a really good band and great songwriters too. And they have just fantastic harmonies. I don't know why they don't get more recognition. And I think Father John, the drummer, what is that one song? It's about the town in Greece, and they do a great harmony on that. But the drummer has left that band. But White Winter Hymnal is done by a lot of choirs, a lot of high school, college choirs, independent choirs, because they arrange the vocal harmonies, and it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Not technically Christmas, but it's definitely winter. The other one is Sister Winter, Sufjan Stevens, which I mentioned that Tracy Thorn has on Tinsel and Lights. And I have to go back and mention Tracy covers Ron's Maybe This Christmas on Tinsel and Lights. She does a great job on that cover, Maybe This Christmas by Tracy Thorn. Really worth the spinning. But I still feel Ron's version is the best. The other one that I mentioned is Song for a Winter's Night, the great Gordon Lightfoot song, famously written and he worked out the themes while in a hotel in a thunderstorm in a terrible heat wave. And he was on a road in Cleveland, Ohio. And he just came up with this fantastic winter classic. And I've heard this probably more than any of the other recordings on mainstream streaming or on the radio. And it's been covered by a lot of artists. Sarah McLachlan did a version which was very, very popular. She slowed the tempo down and changed a lot of the pacing of the song. And just recently, Ingrid Michaelson, I believe for this Christmas, recorded a version of Song for a Winter's Night. And I like Ingrid. She does a great job. And I love reading the comments on the big video machine on some of these songs, particularly late on a Saturday or a Sunday night. I'll pour a little bit, three fingers of scotch, and I'll cruise through looking for new music. That's one of the things I do. Clears my mind before I go to sleep. And the scotch helps too. And I came across Ingrid Michaelson's version of Song for a Winter's Night. And I love reading the comments because people are like, oh, Ingrid wrote just this fantastic song. This is such a beautiful melody. It's so typical. Ingrid, beautiful Ingrid. Ingrid's back. Ingrid, all these comments until somebody finally is the party pooper and throws the factual wrench in the works and says, that's not written by Ingrid. Ingrid Michaelson. That's a very old song written by Gordon Lightfoot in the 60s. So I always get a kick out of how when some of these covers come that are old or obscure records that people don't know about, they think the current artist wrote it. But Song for a Winter's Night, recorded by almost everybody. Once more, there's a great version by a gal named Erin Propp. She comes about the closest. The best version is Gordon Lightfoot's original version. With Red Shea and Rick Haynes on bass. I think it was Rick, not John Stockfish. Recorded when Lightfoot was on United Artists before he switched over to Warner Brothers. That's the best version. And the pacing, and it's got sleigh bells in the background. And great song. Song for a Winter's Night. So maybe I got to do the winter song. One more song I have to mention here is Ho, Ho, Ho by Sia. It's on a Sia Christmas album, and Sia is just fascinating to me. She's got a great voice, and she's a spectacular songwriter. And it's a, for lack of a better word, it's a drinking song, and it's got this catchy melody. So Paulie has a number of ringtones for Paulie's phone, and you know, I'm a Jersey guy, so most of the year, my ringtone is Tunnel of Love by Bruce Springsteen, the intro. But at Christmas time, I change it up, and it's Ho, Ho, Ho by Sia. And I was at a little Christmas get-together the other day, and we were all talking and having some pizza and having a great time. And I got called away a little bit, but I left my phone on the table there, and somebody called me. And one of the guys said, I look around, I hear the Ho, 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 and... Everybody sees, like, hey, Paulie, you get a call. And everybody's kind of bopping and dancing and hopping to the song. It's that kind of song. And they're like, who was that? Who's that art? I said, it's Ho, Ho, Ho by Sia from her Christmas album. And one guy says, Paulie, you never cease to amaze me. You dig up these fantastic songs. But that's what I like to do. So there we go. So let's do a recap real quick. We got the on mentions of the rated series, the five most ignored great Christmas songs that the media just refuses to play. So we got the on mention, A Spaceman Came Traveling by Chris DeBerg. We've got Tinsel and Lights, the title track from Tracy Thorne. Number five is Christmas Eve by Blackmore's Night. Number four is First Snow on Brooklyn, Jethro Tull. Number three is Bright Bright, The Holly Berries. I'm going to call the best version Singers Unlimited from their Christmas album. Number two, Run with the Fox, Chris Squire and Alan White from Chris's Christmas album, Swiss Choir. And number one, Ron Sexsmith, Maybe This Christmas. And then we got a bunch of winter songs, White Winter Hymnal, Song for a Winter's Night by Lightfoot, Sister Winter, Ho, Ho, Ho by Sia. And there we go. The rated series. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And, you know, I got a lot of Christmas stuff. I got to wrap presents. I got all this stuff. I got some new music I got to check out. It's a busy, busy weekend here at the Writing Command Center. Yes, indeed. Very, very busy here at the Writing Command Center. But upcoming podcasts for the Christmas season, we're going to squeeze them in as best we can. We've got some great plans. We have the next podcast will be the rated series again. But this one is a variation on a theme. It's not going to be music related. It is going to be video related, movie related, and it's going to be Paulie rating his five best versions of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, be them movies or cartoons or whatever. And as most people who follow Paulie know, my favorite author is Charles Dickens. And A Christmas Carol, in Paulie's opinion, is the greatest story ever written by the greatest author. And I am going to rate the best, five best versions, video versions of A Christmas Carol. If I get time, maybe between Boxing Day and the New Year and Christmas week, I also would love to do a deep dive dissection of A Christmas Carol, because as I mentioned, it's my favorite story, and Paulie has checked that out in depth, and I've actually taken a little college course on that and some creative writing, and I think I know the story really well, and I would love to share some insight and share some ideas about how wonderful and how life-changing the man who invented Christmas, Charles Dickens, with the great A Christmas Carol. And then hopefully for Christmas Eve, we're going to do the podcast of the famous story, The Old Man, from The Adventures of Harry and Paul. Everybody's favorite guy, my favorite guy, the old man character, and based upon a actual event of when the old man decided to finally ditch his fake tree, his artificial Christmas tree, and go out and get a real Christmas tree for Christmas one year, and the misadventures and disasters that occurred. And that comes from a book. Title track is The Christmas Tree and Other Christmas Stories, Stories for a Christmas Evening. And with The Christmas Tree being the second story I ever wrote when I was 16 years old. So at any rate, we hope to do that podcast and have that as a special Christmas Eve podcast episode. So we have all these things going on. Busy, busy, busy. Oh, my goodness gracious. And we really appreciate you tuning in and all the support and emails. Keep them coming. So, hey, please be kind. Be gentle. Be very tolerant. Remember, kindness is for free. Spread it around, especially this time of year. Spread that Christmas kindness around. Spread it around as much as you can. It can only make this world a better place. And here we go. We're going to... And, you know, really, when it all boils down to, what do I know? I'm just a guy from Paterson, New Jersey. But anyway, here we go with little silver bells on the outro. And you have a great, great Christmas weekend, Christmas season. Oh, my goodness. Enough of that. Hey, we'll see you next time.